Support for this podcast is provided by SHL. From talent acquisition to talent management, SHL has the people insight to help you build a talent strategy that achieves outcomes like increased productivity, internal mobility, engagement, and leadership diversity. SHL brings transparent AI technology, decades of trustworthy data science, and objectivity to help companies attract, develop, and grow the workforce you need to succeed in the digital era. Visit shl.com to learn how you can unlock the full potential of your greatest asset, your people.
There's been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi everyone, this is Matt Alder. Welcome to episode 298 of the Recruiting Future podcast. The accelerated digital transformation of 2020 is driving significant additional adoption of recruiting and HR technology. But is technology making us more productive? And how might things develop as we move into 2021? My guest this week is Tim Ringo, a highly experienced HR and technology consultant and author of the new book, The Productivity Puzzle. In our conversation, Tim shares some highly knowledgeable insights into the relationship between humans, technology, and productivity. Hi, Tim, and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here, Matt. Thank you.
An absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Could you just introduce yourself and tell everyone a bit about what you do?
Sure. Tim Ringo, originally from the States. I've been living in the UK for about 25 years now. I originally joined Andersen Consulting back in the day, back in 1990, mainly because I didn't know what I wanted to do when I got out of university, and progressed through Andersen to what became Accenture. And I was a senior executive in Accenture, recruited to IBM to lead IBM's global human capital consulting practice based in the UK, but it was a global role. So senior executive in IBM for quite a few years. And then I moved over to the software side after 25 years of consulting. I most recently was at SAP SuccessFactors. SuccessFactors is obviously one of the bigger, more successful human capital platforms. And then in April, right at the beginning of lockdown, I retired, or what I call pro-tire, because I'm still doing things like writing books and podcasts, things like that. So things that I enjoy. I pro-tired in April. So that's about me. But essentially, I've been in HR consulting for 25 years, and then HR software for the past five. And then I write books. So I wrote Calculating Success on Harvard Business Review, co-wrote that. And then I just released a few weeks ago my latest book, Solving the Productivity Puzzle, which is on Kogan Page, was released on August the 13th. So spending a lot of time on that at the moment.
It would be great to sort of find out more about that latest book. Talk us through, what's the book about? How did it come about?
Yeah, it was in 2018, and I came upon a paper by the OECD, which was really shocking, because it said essentially, human productivity is in kind of terminal decline, which is going to lead to downward pressure on GDP. And then GDP per capita going out to 2060. So essentially, the view was quite grim that we're going to see, not as good a living standards as we have today, not as much prosperity, et cetera. And it put, two-thirds of the picture, two-thirds of the pie was on the human productivity piece. And I was shocked, but I didn't agree with what they were saying, which essentially is that organizations are not going to invest in aligning people to technology. Second, they're not going to change their processes and business models to align to technology effectively. And then third, they're not going to change their organization structures to take advantage of digital technology. And having been in consulting for many, many years and been done some very big HR programs, it just didn't mesh with what I was seeing a couple of years ago, and even more so today, which is that organizations are doing those things. They are finally getting back to investing and aligning people to technology. They are changing their processes and business models, and they are starting to restructure. So I think the OECD is missing a trick there, and I sort of put them in the pessimist camp, and I sit in the optimist camp. It says, well, actually, I think because of those things, plus turbocharging, humans with smart technology, I think we're going to see the greatest uplifts in productivity we've ever seen. So I come at it from a very different perspective and see something clearly quite different than they see.
Fantastic. And there's so many things I want to ask you more about there. Before we do, though, something that you sort of talk about at the beginning of the book, which I think is probably important in terms of background to all of this, is the productivity paradox.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time, really. It sort of appeared in the 1970s when, after a phase from the end of the war until about 1970, there had been, massive leaps in technology and, process reengineering. And we had seen some productivity uplift from that pretty dramatically. But then, similar to today, we saw productivity drop off. And even as more technology came in the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s, to the beginning of the 1990s, we saw this kind of divergence, which we're seeing today, which is that people productivity is not sort of keeping up with where you would think it would be with all this fantastic technology. Then the 1990s came along and the internet came along, and we saw prolonged and expansive improvement in people productivity because there was massive attention on the internet and the possibilities of the internet and a lot of money put into aligning people to technology. And I was there. I was working in Anders Consulting in the change management practice in the 1990s. And, it was a billion-dollar business for us. Companies were spending huge amounts of money on putting these new systems in and making sure people were more productive. So we saw a massive productivity increase. But after sort of twin shocks in the early 2000s, so 9/11, and then you had the 2008 financial crisis, for whatever reason, those two things spooked companies and they stopped spending money on aligning people to technology. And that's why we're seeing the paradox kick in again, which is we're spending massively on technology, but we're not seeing the uplifts. Really, since about 2010, we're in the longest period of, productivity decline that's ever been recorded. Yet we have fantastic technology. So we're in that paradox once again. But this is the longest, and to economists, the most concerning lengthy period of people productivity decline. Therefore, the OECD are saying, well, maybe we're in a terminal decline in productivity, which again, I argue the other side of that.
So I suppose it's impossible to sort of dig into this any deeper without talking about what has happened in 2020 with the pandemic that for many employers has really changed the way that they work with their employees. What's your view on that? What have we seen this year, and how does it kind of relate to what we've seen in the past, and how might shape the future?
Well, there's two things. Again, crises knock us on to a different path, right? I think after 9/11, it knocked us on to a different path, but it wasn't a good one when it comes to people and human capital inside of companies. 2008, again, another shock that knocked us on to a different path. It again, reduced investment in people and that sort of thing. But this one is different. So this is, we've been unfortunate in that we've had three major shocks inside of 20 years. It's a little bit unprecedented, really. And this one has knocked us onto a completely different path, but it's been a people, it's a human thing, right? It's a, it's a human pandemic. It's human health that we're talking about. And it couldn't have happened at a worse time because we were, struggling. We're starting to make headway on the productivity problem, but it really has knocked productivity quite substantially. And you've seen that in the numbers in the UK, you see it around the world. But I actually think that this new path that we've been knocked on is going to actually help productivity in the coming, it could be 18 months, it could be 2 years. It's going to take a little while. But I think this new path that we're on is we're going to see managers much more comfortable with workers having more autonomy, working where and when they best work, when they're most productive. I think you're going to see the emergence of more empathetic leadership. I think you're going to see, and we are seeing, companies are starting to invest even more money now in the human technology interface, right? So you're hearing a lot about, the people experience, the human experience inside companies, and that's really important to solving the productivity puzzle. So I think these three things, and I had already written about them in the book before the crisis, are now accelerated, these trends. The other thing I like is that we're going to de-densify the offices. I think that's going to help you know, improve productivity because we were over densifying and you just couldn't get anything done in an office. So this is a unique one that I think actually is causing companies to invest in people, both in their health and well-being, but the technology that they're going to need. And I think it's going to change managers and leadership attitude towards when and where people work. And so I'm actually quite optimistic that this time we've been knocked onto a better path than we were on before. And although we're going to have a big dip in productivity, we're going to see, I think, a big uplift on the other side.
We talk about a lot of HR technology on this podcast. So obviously talent acquisition software, but also stuff around talent management and L&D and other aspects of human capital software. Digging back into this paradox, talk us through some of the reasons why up to the pandemic, the speed at which companies were adopting that technology has been nowhere near close to matching the speed the technology develops.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think the gap was being closed the past 5 years, you're absolutely right. It hasn't happened fast enough. And I do think that because, you know, the workplace is going to change dramatically from this, I think these technologies, we're going to see a significant uptick, particularly in medium-sized enterprises and smaller enterprises, and certainly more adoption in the larger enterprises. And, you know, I think these technologies are not only going to get invested in, but I think people are going to learn lessons from how do you implement them to make them human-centric versus, you know, HR process-centric or the IT department-centric, right? So a lot of these solutions were treated as IT projects. You know, the human experience wasn't thought of very much. I think that's changing rather dramatically. You see people like SAP SuccessFactors and Workday and others and, you know, talking about human-centric work. And really, these technologies almost need to disappear into the background. I think in the near future, we're not going to hear the term HR system anymore because they're going to become ubiquitous. They're going to be something that we talk to versus type into, and they're going to be really sort of performance support throughout the day, performance support for you and your manager to make you better. And I think that's the shift we're going to see. And when that happens, you've got augmented, you know, humans augmented by technology. That's when you see the big uplift in productivity, and that is happening. We're heading in that direction, and I think it's going to accelerate over the next few years.
So broadening that out slightly in terms of technology augmenting humans, again, a lot of conversation that we've had on the show around the future of work has looked at sort of various different sides of the vision of what technology is going to look like and whether it will replace people's jobs or augment people's jobs, whether technology can do jobs better than humans or whether humans can do better than technology. What's your take on what's happening and how it might develop as we move forward?
Well, at the risk of pushing a different book than mine, but a book that I read a few years ago, which I absolutely love, was called Race Against the Machines by Professor Benofsen and McAfee's, both MIT economists. And it's really a human capital book. They even say so in it. You know, this is to help organizations understand how technology is going to work in the future. Obviously not time to go into it at the moment, but let me summarize kind of what they said, and I absolutely believe. I think that, you know, because technology is going to become more and more you know, human-centric and augmenting humans, you're going to see this kind of uplift. But what's really interesting is they absolutely say in the book, and I agree, these technology inflections are highly disruptive. People lose their jobs. There's no doubt. You go, you know, all the way through the Industrial Revolution, whenever there was a major technology inflection, people lose their jobs. So let's use an example. In the UK, London 2012, Uber comes along and, you know, really disrupted, you know, the sat-nav app and, you know, disrupted that industry dramatically, and a lot of people lost their jobs. But let's fast forward, you know, even as early as next year, you're going to have situations where you're going to have taxis that are autonomous. They drive themselves. And you can be a taxi driver and you can own two taxis, one that drives itself and one that you drive. And you can double your income. You can double your effectiveness, right? And I know it's a bit of a wacky experience, you know, but this is the kind of stuff that's coming, that, you know, technology, we're through one big inflection. We're now absorbing that inflection and we're starting to create new jobs that we never thought of before, or completely change jobs from how they were done, you know, before. And this is just really fascinating. And that's why they call it Race Against the Machines. And, you know, the humans, we are winning that race. And we are learning how to harness these technologies to make our jobs better, more enjoyable, higher value. And that's kind of the point we are in the technology spectrum at the moment.
What would your advice be to recruiting leaders, HR leaders, people who are reviewing technology at the moment and really sort of setting the strategy for their companies for the next few years in terms of how things work? What should they be thinking and what should they be focusing on?
Yeah, I write about this heavily in the book. And I've written quite a few blogs you can find on my website. But for me, and this sounds somewhat boring potentially, but it's absolutely critical. The thing that, and this is the pandemic has made this even more important. Companies right now should be very focused on their strategic workforce plan, right? The furloughs are starting to go and you're seeing, massive job cuts, which again, happened in 2008. And in at 9/11, and those companies always regretted that they got rid of that talent because it took years to get the talent back that they needed. And that's what's going to happen again in this situation. Now, luckily, we've had the government paying people. And that's, I think, has been tremendously helpful to the economy and to people and to society. But I am concerned now that, organizations are going to just start cutting, 10% here, 10% there. And not having done a strategic workforce plan, which is really simple. You look out 12 months, even 18 months, and you say, right, what are the conditions likely to be? Create scenarios, figure out your supply and demand of talent, and then work that back to today. And that should give you a really good picture of the skills you're going to need in the very near future and the talent that you're going to need. And you're more likely then to say, hang on, we have to invest in keeping these people around as demand picks up rather than starting to just cut jobs. And the good news is the technology, the human capital technologies are very advanced in this space now. And they make it, really easy, really intelligent for HR and, operations and the CEO and the CFO to work together to say, look, this is the plan. This is likely how things are going to play out. Let's plan accordingly and let's not cut 200 jobs over here or 300 over here or 3,000 because we're going to need these people and we're not going to be able to find these skills later.
Final question, where can people find out more about you and where can they buy the book?
So book's available, Kogan Page is my publisher, so it can be found on KoganPage.com. Also Amazon UK, and you can also find a link to that on my website, which is really simple, TimRingo.com. And you can find more information about my workshops that I do around the book, speeches I do around the book, and I post regularly videos and blogs, subjects around the book.
Tim, thank you very much for talking to me.
My pleasure. Thanks very much, Matt.
My thanks to Tim Ringo. You can subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or via your podcasting app of choice. Please also follow us on Instagram. You can find the show by searching for Recruiting Future. You can search through all the past episodes at www.recruitingfuture.com. On that site, you can also subscribe to the mailing list to get the inside track about everything that's coming up on the show. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next time, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show.
The Jim Stroud Podcast explores the discoveries and trends forming the future of our lives. Brain-to-brain communication, robot bosses, microchip implants for workers, and artificial intelligence replacing human workers are all happening now. If you want to know what's happening next, subscribe now to the Jim Stroud Podcast.